Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome.
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, Rob Cassidy of Rivals.com joins us. He's a recruiting analyst for Rivals, and we talk a lot about what's coming up, what are the in terms of recruiting and the impact on recruiting from what is about to be a crazy coaching carousel, an early signing period where people really don't understand why they're signing early, what their options are. As Rob says, there are going to be a lot of angry people in December. There is going to be chaos on the recruiting trail. Ole Miss promises to be a part of that, I think. So we talked to Rob about those topics and more. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let me tell you about Billy's Pecans. It's never too early to plan for the holiday season. In fact, it's here. Thanksgiving a week away. Christmas right around the corner, so get a jump start on your gift-giving list today. Whether it's for business or family, Billy's offers gift towers, samplers, gift bags, and more to please every sweet tooth on your list. And now's the perfect time to line up your Thanksgiving cakes. You gotta hustle. Get online today. Order Billy's blueberry pecan coffee cake or cinnamon pecan coffee. They'll freeze beautifully until Thanksgiving Day. Or you can order those maybe for a Christmas Eve, Christmas morning. Those kind of things would be awesome. Get in touch with Billy and Billy's Pecans, Stacy and Bailey there at Billy's Pecans. They'll take care of you. Order now, and Billy's will shift your gifts on the date requested. Here's why you should choose Billy for your holiday gifting. They make it super easy. Email your list of recipients to gifts@billyspecans.com. That's G-I-F-T-S. At Billy's, B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com, and they will handle the rest. If you want your logo on your gift, they'll do that too. They even provide a complimentary gift card for you to express whatever you want to that special person. Go to their website at billyspecans.com to see what they have to offer. Their two most popular gifts for corporate clients are the Simply Duo and the Party Trio, but everything you see is a perfect gift. You can order online at billyspecans.com, email at gifts@billyspecans.com, or call 1-800-624-7404, and Stacy or Bailey will assist with your gifting needs. And when you talk to them, make sure you tell them that you heard about it on the Soft Verbal Podcast. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios, Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. It's no haggling. It's just a great deal. Get your quote. You can shop it around if you'd like. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of this podcast and our family of podcasts, and let's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. So simple. You'll get a great deal, a great new Ford, great service after the sale. Make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans, and you get $500 off your new Ford from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. Now let's go to our interview with Rob Cassidy of Rivals.com here on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. All right, Rob, welcome back into the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I'm going to get some Billy's Pecans to you. Remind me to get your address. It is awesome. You will love the product. I'll find out what you like, and I'll get some of it sent to you as a thank you for coming on and giving us your time a couple times here in the last month or so. It's crazy season in coaching searching, which means it results. One of the fallouts from that is it makes it crazy season in recruiting. So I'm going to start with this. When you take all of the change that is coming with coaching staffs and stuff, people moving, people getting fired, and combine that with this looming early signing period, is this December going to be noticeably different from previous Decembers in terms of just the volatility of the recruiting?
I think there's going to be a lot of really upset people. That's the one thing that I'm positive of. I mean, I'd like to get on one of these conference calls right now and find a guy. And this is nothing against Scott Frost, who I think is a good guy and is a good coach. He's just put in a bad position. And ask a guy like Scott Frost right now, how many players do you expect to sign on signing day? And he would say all of them. But can he even say that? Because everybody knows he's leaving. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, you're going to have assistants move after half of these kids sign, and then people are going to want to get out. You're going to have some really angry handlers down here in the Southeast, which nobody wants, and some really angry kids. And frankly, some really angry assistant coaches. I think we're coming up to a storm here. Nobody's really talking about it yet, but I could see this going so poorly that they're just like, you know what, forget this, down the road, and trying to throw it out.
Oh, throw out the early signing period. Absolutely. I think it's going to be a 2-year deal that goes away. All right. So here's my question. Like a guy like Scott Frost, don't the kids that are being recruited by Central Florida that are committed to Central Florida, they know he's leaving, right?
You would think some of them do, but look, this is what we've created now. Now we've created an expectation from the Central Florida Athletic Department where it may not be outright said, and maybe it is outright said, but it's now become Scott Frost's job to lie to kids and tell them, nothing's set in stone yet. I could be back. I will be back. Because if he doesn't do that, then it's counterintuitive for his employer, and then he finds himself in trouble. So that's what I said. I'd like to ask him the question now, because what can he say? No matter what he says, he comes off looking bad because, you know, you can't outright lie to these kids. But at the same time, your employer kind of is making you outright lie to these kids. I don't think he's on the phone with these kids saying, look, sign at UCF, but I'm not going to be here, because he can't say that, because then that gets out in the news. He's really, guys like him. It's not just him. We're really in a tough spot here.
And he's got another week of that. I mean, after next week, he's got to get ready for a championship game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think that he's going to want that news released, you know, prior to the championship game. So then you're looking at, you know, a tight, tight few week window between him taking a new job where he's recruited all these players and the signing day. And then it's like, what happens? I mean, everybody's expected to stick with their commitment. Everybody's expected to sign. I know that a lot of these coaches that, you know, I've talked to players and coaches that they're kind of playing the card where if you're committed, we want you to sign. If you don't, we will not consider you committed. Now, of course, that only works with certain kids. I mean, you're not going to tell a top 100 kid that. But I think they're trying to leverage this situation as much as they can.
And what are the high school coaches and handlers telling those kids? Are they telling them, don't sign, wait?
Yeah. I mean, the kids with options, they're telling them, no, why would you? And they have a point. I mean, why would they? What benefit is this to any of these players to sign early? I mean, it doesn't benefit anybody except for the university, unless they're coming in early. If they're an early graduate, fine. But, you know, a guy that's not going to get in there until next fall, why lock in right now? I mean, there's no, especially with all these assistant coaching changes that are coming after the early signing period, that's when we're going to get real interesting.
So it's going to make
the guy that recruited so-and-so to Florida State or wherever is now at LSU. Okay, and then the kid's locked in and it's like, all right.
Well, those kids are going to want out, but they're not going to be able to get out.
Nope. And that's when everybody's going to start yelling and screaming at each other. And that's why I think this is ultimately doomed.
Okay, let's talk about some of the different scenarios. You tell me who, you know, in these scenarios, who benefits from a recruiting standpoint? You know who knows people and that kind of thing. There's a lot of buzz at Florida right now. Jim McElwain obviously is out. It's a lot of talk right now about Chip Kelly. I talked to someone a little while ago who, and I believe him, texted back and forth with Chip Kelly yesterday and came away believing that Chip Kelly is most certainly going to take the Florida job. Chip Kelly at Florida, what kind of a fit is that in terms of his ability to recruit those kids?
I think that there's a certain group of kids that will love this because his name does carry some cachet. I mean, it's a good fit. I think it's a great hire, but you know, there's some things to consider here, right? Like, first of all, he's never dealt – it's different. I mean, you're in the South, and it's different, especially in the state that I live in Florida. Recruiting here is different. You're not dealing with the high school coaches. Nobody – they don't know anything. They don't do anything down here. I mean, they're great coaches, whatever. They coach football. But you're dealing with trainers and you're dealing with handlers and you're dealing with 7-on-7 coaches. And if you aren't willing to adapt to that culture, you're not going to get a lot done on the recruiting front in Florida and in Georgia to some respect. So that's the one question I have is, can he do that as being a Northeastern guy that's never really kind of played the game down here in the SEC or in Florida for that matter? And then the other thing with him is just kind of the offense. Like, you know, that was a revolutionary offense at Oregon, but now it's kind of run of the mill. So I don't know if it's taken anybody off guard. But like I said, I think it's a good hire. But I mean, I think there's no such thing as a slam dunk hire. And I think that those are the recruiting questions you got to kind of ask.
Would Scott Frost be a better hire? I know it's Chip Kelly's job and he's got more cachet than Scott Frost. But would Scott Frost be a better hire?
Yes. They can't get him, though. I mean, he's going to Nebraska, I think.
You're the second person to tell me that he's going to Nebraska, that deal is basically done. Do you think
in the Midwest? I think he does. I think there's been some contact with his agent from people back where I used to work, at least in the Midwest, in that area, has kind of told me that there's been some preliminary contact there. I think that's where he's going. I think Nebraska's got the facility. They've got the fan support. And then you can't really put a price tag on nostalgia. I mean, when you play quarterback at a place when that place is, you know, good, you know, I think it's natural to want to go back to that place and, you know, return to kind of the prodigal son thing.
So when Nebraska was great, they had that walk-on program that you can't do anymore. When Nebraska was great, they were one of the big national programs that was always on TV. That's not the case anymore. When Nebraska was great, they had pipelines into Florida and pipelines into California that they don't really have established anymore. Can Scott Frost rebuild all of that and make Nebraska a power again, or is he going to go to Lincoln and bang his head against the wall?
See, I don't think it's black and white. I mean, I don't think that those are the only options. Like, I don't think he's going there and they're going to become 1990s national champion Nebraska. I don't know if Bear Bryant could be resurrected to do that. And I should note, I think that it would be in Scott Frost's best interest to take the Florida job. I just don't think he would do that. And he's got a better chance to be great there. It's going to be tough to recruit there. But, you know, he did. That offense is such, and he is such a good coach. He's as proven as anybody in the country. He took over an 0-12 UCF team. In 1 year, had him 6-6, and now has them undefeated. His offense works. He'll be able to get a level better of athletes at Nebraska than he can at UCF. And he's going to be running that same system that he ran at Oregon effectively. Now he's running at UCF effectively. And now he'll be running it in a Big Ten, which doesn't really see anything like that from time to time. And I think it'll appeal to those kids. You know, those kids, they want to play up-tempo offense. There's not a lot of places that run that fun, wide-open offense like UCF in the neighborhood. I think that'll appeal to recruits. I think they should be fine there, but I don't know if return to glory is in the cards. I mean, like you said, there's just so many things different with the college football landscape now than, you know, it was back then.
All right. Some of the crazy stuff that's happening in your state is just now starting to talk. I heard from someone over the last few days that if Jimbo Fisher had a do-over, he would have gone to LSU 2 years ago. That ship has sailed. Texas A&M apparently is putting the early work in on making him a monumental offer that would be, if the number's correct, would be really difficult to turn down. You're in that state. You're around people. You're around contacts and that kind of thing. How much stock do you put into the speculation that Jimbo Fisher is itching to get out of Tallahassee?
I heard this rumor like a few days before it became widespread on the internet. Somebody that works in an apparel company, I'll leave it at that. Logic tells me no, right? I mean, his buyout is like $40 million on top of it. I mean, I understand Texas A&M has money, but do they have biggest monumental contract in football plus $40 million money?
Yes.
And
I mean, here's the answer to your question, Rob. They do have it. It's just the insanity of it is what is mind-boggling to me. Yes, they have the money.
They'll take a PR hit like you wouldn't believe.
Yes.
If they do this, I mean, it's going to be – and I just can't see it. You've won a national championship. You're pretty entrenched here. Mate, unless he is convinced that it's over and, you know, this is the end. In that case, you can kind of see it. But, I don't know. It's such a cushy job. You're 1 year away from being the top program in the top recruiting state. You've won a national title. do you want to risk all that to go into a rebuild? I guess Florida State's a rebuild now too. I just can't see it, Neil. I don't want to shove my foot in my mouth, but I just cannot see it.
Just for fun, because it's a more fun podcast if he leaves. If he leaves, where does that job stack up? I mean, you're right. It's a great job. Bobby Bowden won. Jimbo Fisher won. They've lost a bunch of games, but I would assume there's a lot of talent on campus. It's fertile recruiting territory, et cetera. Is that a job that when it opens up, it completely changes the game for people?
Yeah, I think so. But if it opens right now, I don't know what. Like, I'm sitting here trying to – this is not a scenario I've gone through in my head prior to talking to you because I just think it's so absurd. I don't know who they would hire. Like, I don't know who the – if he left and walks away right now, I don't know who the candidate is. And we're assuming that Chip is at Florida in this scenario, I suppose. I don't know who you go get. I mean – I don't know. I just don't even have a name. It's
Charlie
insane,
Strong?
Insane sounding to me.
Willie Taggart?
Maybe Willie Taggart. Charlie, I don't think Florida State's to the point where they want to take a coach that's washed out of a Power 5 program already and Strong. I don't know. It would be – if that happens, we're going to be in for the most insane offseason. Add in the early signing day stuff we already discussed. Add in just the absurdity of – This Florida State situation, it will be the craziest offseason in the history of my life in college football. Anyway,
I think there's a decent chance of it, I'll be honest. I mean, we always think
really?
I do. I if you made me put odds on Jimbo Fisher to A&M today, I'd go no lower than 50-50.
Are we even sure they're going to fire Kevin Sumlin?
Yes.
That's the other thing.
He's gone. He's done. It's over.
Man, well, if that happens, it's going to make for a whole lot of work for me. I'm kind of hesitant, but we will see.
All right, a job that is going to open. I've heard it's opening as early as Sunday. Brett Bielema is going to get fired at Florida. I mean, at Arkansas, I'm sorry. There's no AD in place now because Jeff Long's fired by boosters. Is that Mike Norvell's job? I mean, what is that? Do they go after Gus Malzahn? I mean, and then from a recruiting standpoint, and I know you don't cover the state of Arkansas and stuff, but from a recruiting standpoint, is it possible for Arkansas to ever recruit to the level that they're back where they were in their glory days in the Southwest Conference? Is that even conceivable?
They need some help from the Texas schools being terrible. They need A&M to be bad, and they need Texas to never get good again, and then maybe – but even then, you're still fighting LSU and Alabama and Texas. I mean, they really need to figure out what they're doing in Texas. That's kind of their stronghold. So maybe when they do make a hire, that's what they need to keep in mind. But, you know, their hire is interesting, too. You ask, is it Mike Norvell's job? Is Tennessee Mike Norvell's job? I mean, you're not of the of school that they're actually going to hire John Gruden, are you?
We take a break from our interview with Rob Cassidy to tell you that the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans is also brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years. He has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area, but he services the entire state of Mississippi, from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast and all points in between. Contact John at fidelitymort.com. That's FIDELITYMORT.com. Or at 601-842-9764. Fidelity Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 1039190. Today's show is also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? It's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast, well, then listen to this. Even if you are not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. Now back to Rob Cassidy on the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Billy's Pecans. Oh, no, 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 no. The Gruden thing is this is where I give,
yeah, that's insane.
I give credit to the Rob Lewis's of the world. I mean, this is, I hope this does not come across as a criticism. I give them credit because here's the thing. You're running the Tennessee site and you put out the first hot board. Well, the fans want to read Gruden. And there are prominent boosters who, by God, want to talk to Gruden. And so from a journalism standpoint, you say, well, I can sell Gruden for a few days, and there is enough legitimacy for me to put him out front, and that's all anybody wants to read. The problem with it is that Gruden's not realistic. He's not going to take it. And so the rest of the list, and I mean this, I don't mean this literally, but the rest of the list is not as sexy as Gruden. And so then fans immediately have this negative impression of who the new coach is because they thought they were getting John Gruden. They thought they were getting Chip Kelly. They thought they were getting Bill Belichick. I'm kidding on Belichick, but they think they're getting Dabo Sweeney to leave Clemson for Tennessee. They have this totally unrealistic expectation of what they could get when in reality, if you put together a really strong total package and walk away with a guy like Dan Mullen, you won. Yet
yeah, it's huge.
Their fan base wouldn't see it that way.
Well, here's the other thing. Look, and I'll say this. Even if they could get him, which they can't, they don't want him. I mean, we know who John Gruden is. Do you know who doesn't know who John Gruden is? Recruits. They have no idea. They were not born when he won the Super Bowl in Tampa. They don't watch Monday Night Football. They watch cool plays on the internet. These kids have lives. They're not like me, sitting around watching football. They're out, you know, flirting and going to parties and hanging out, practicing football. They don't know who he is. I wrote that story on Lane Kiffin when he got hired at FAU. And I asked them, tell me about Lane Kiffin. There were multiple kids that I had to take out my phone and prove to them that he was the head coach at USC because they did not believe me. They just thought he was an up-and-coming coordinator from Alabama. They don't care. I mean, everybody thinks that they're going to get John Gruden and, like, everybody committed to all these other schools is going to flock to Tennessee. That's not going to happen. They don't want him. He doesn't want them. We got to move on.
You're right. The kids have no freaking idea.
No, they don't know who he is.
And Gruden hasn't recruited as a coach since Pittsburgh, ever. Like 1991.
Yeah. It's insane from every angle. Even if they could get him, they don't. They think they want him. They do not want him. That will not end well.
Who do they want? Who makes sense there? How would Dan Mullen do? How would Dan Mullen do at Tennessee?
I think he'd do great. I mean, he doesn't have to make a ton of new relationships. He just moves over a little bit into a better situation with a higher ceiling, with a better facility, with a, you know, more of a kind of a cachet and a, you know, a better fan base. I think the ceiling rises. I think he'd do well there. I think Mike Norvell would do well there.
If you're Norvell and you can either have Arkansas or Tennessee, which job do you want?
Tennessee. For sure.
If you're Norvell and you can
like
have...
you said, Arkansas's got some recruiting. They're stuck in like a weird recruiting world where there's no talent in the state and they're fighting everybody in Texas and they've fallen behind that fight for years now. And now A&M's in the SEC. So it used to be if you wanted to go to the SEC and you were from Texas, but you wanted to stay somewhat close to home, you went to Arkansas. Now A&M's there. I mean, you don't have to leave the state.
If you're Mike Norvell and you can either be the coach at Arkansas or the coach at Ole Miss, what's the better job?
If all things are equal, let's say this ruling comes down, I take the Ole Miss job. If they're still stringing Ole Miss along and they haven't said anything or the sanctions are worse than we expect them to be, then you go to Arkansas. The worst thing is uncertainty, and you and I talked about this a little bit off the air. I cannot believe how long they're taking to figure this out. And if they take much longer, it's really going to impact this coaching search.
Oh, it absolutely. It's a week away. As we tape this, we're taping this on Wednesday at 12:36 Central Time. As I say this, we are 8 days away from the end of the season. We are 9 to 12 days away from it starting to have a dramatic impact on the coaching search.
And that's unfair. It is. It just plain is. I understand that there were some rules broken and they have to look into it, whatever. But there's something to be said for kind of like, you know, what do they call it in the legal system? The right to a swift and fair trial. You're going to ruin a coaching search over this? And over what? Especially if they come back late and say, oh, you know, it's good. No more sanctions. It's like, well, thanks. Now we've missed on two guys because of this.
Your opinion, how much do kids sit around and talk about the sanctions that might come down at Ole Miss? Are they more bothered by that, or are they more bothered by right now just the unknown of what the situation is there?
I don't think they care about the sanctions. And to be honest, I don't think they know much about them. The only way this gets bad for Ole Miss is if they get the bowl banned and then other coaches can be like, remind them, hey, you can't go to a bowl game for this many years. I don't think they're sitting around saying, boy, I really don't want to go to that program because it's on shaky footing and it looks like they don't do things the right way. Nobody cares. These kids do not care. They just want to – the only thing that affects them is if it affects them is, hey, even if I go there, I can't play in the postseason or I'm not going there. Other than that, I don't think they care one iota.
If Mullen were to leave, how much of an impact would that have on Mississippi State over the next year or two? I mean, the guy is – he's got a pretty good class lined up for 18. He's way ahead on that loaded 2019 class in Mississippi. Presumably that would change things a little bit. If he were to leave, how much does that shake things up in Starkville?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps Ole Miss in the point where, you know, it's not going to look as certain down the road. I think that 19 class will start to open up a little bit. And, you know, they're not a school, say what you want. I mean, I don't want to come off like I'm running Mississippi State down because I'm not. They're a fine program and a fine conference with a lot going for it. But they're also not a school that's going to be able to make the kind of splash hire that's going to put everybody at ease right away. You know, like if Florida hires Chip Kelly, that puts people at ease that are talking about going to Florida. There's nobody on the map that Mississippi State is going to be able to bring in to just quell things. Whoever they bring in is going to have to prove it if they're gonna get to Dan Mullen's kind of status and be able to even recruit at that level. Because they do, as much as they have working in their favor, they have a lot working against it in recruiting, the location, a number of things. And there's no name out there. They can't make that hire to make all this go away. So a coaching change, especially with a successful coach that leaves on his own, that's going to damage them.
You know, I want to go back to this for a second because I'm just curious. The thought crossed my mind. You were talking about how Chip Kelly's not a sure thing at Florida. It puts people at ease, but there's no certainty. Would Jimbo Fisher be a sure thing at Texas A&M? Is there?
No, there's no sure thing. No, absolutely not.
Why is that job so hard for people? From the outside, it just looks like it's this perfect gig. Why can no one make it happen there?
Is it hard? You know, I think it wasn't a perfect gig when they were in the Big 12. When they first moved over to the SEC, they were fighting kids off. I mean, they were stealing kids from Arizona. They got Christian Kirk off the West Coast who, you know, USC was after. And I mean, when they first came to the SEC, they were red hot. And then it just kind of – they couldn't sustain the success. And then people start looking like, oh, okay, you know, this isn't, you know, what we thought it was going to be. I think that if you can get a solid foundation in place there, it should be a job that does kind of recruit itself now that they have the SEC tie. We just haven't given it long enough. So they haven't been in the league under anybody but Kevin Sumlin. So I guess we'll find out.
All right, you talk to kids all the time. Ole Miss, especially on the defensive side of the football, is going to be able to, when this is all done, when it shakes out, they're going to be able to look at kids on the recruiting trail and say, you can come here and play right away. We're going to have this coach, this system, whatever. But you can play here right away. You can be part of a fresh start. You have a chance to be really remembered for rebuilding a program. Is that, to these kids these days, is that an attractive sell at all?
You can't paint with a broad brush, so yes and no. I mean, Kansas has a 5-star committed to them, which is still blows my mind. And Ole Miss is not anywhere near where Kansas is. And you know that's what they're selling. You know, they've got a five-star with offers from LSU and everybody else committed to them. So it does work. Obviously, they're selling that. I don't know that it works widespread enough to completely, you know, build a class on it. I mean, it's going to be a slow rebuild that way. You're going to get a couple guys that want to be that foundation. Maybe you steal some guys with offers from more stable schools, and then hopefully they build on that. But I don't think, you know, you're going to be able to sell. You know, it's not going to be a defense full of four and five stars right away.
Are there some JUCO guys out there that are impact players that could
provide? Yeah, this is actually a pretty good JUCO class. This is a pretty good JUCO class, and it seems to be a volatile one as well. People committing and decommitting. It's, you know, it's pretty offensive line heavy at the top. There are some D linemen in there too. I'd have to pull up the rankings that we're getting ready to come out with, actually. But it's a better class this year than last year, I think, and I think the year before was better than both of them.
What are those kids looking for? I mean, is it playing time? That's the big thing. I mean, they're not as hung up on I want to go someplace and win a national championship. I mean, they might say that, but in reality, it's I need to get on the field. I need to show the NFL what I can do. I need to repair my image, whatever it is. I want to get to the league. That's the primary thing, right?
It's all they care about is being able to play. It's why Kansas State has been so successful with them. And they also care. All right, so if you can offer them playing time, that works. What really I've learned really works with them is if you can show them a history of, look at this guy. He came from JUCO, and he's in the NFL, and he went to whatever school I represent. So I think the two things they want is a track record of JUCO kids, so you can show them, they can see themselves in those shoes. Hey, it's actually possible for me to get this turned around and be playing for the Atlanta Falcons in 2 years. And they want to see the depth chart. I think those are the two things that matter. You know, of course, they still want to be in the Power Five because, you know, there's just more exposure that way to NFL scouts. So, you know, I think it's just those things. I don't think they care much about winning. I mean, it's obviously they do when they get on campus, but I think it's an afterthought.
So you're expecting the craziest December and January you've had in a while?
There are going to be so many mad people. That's what I'm expecting. It's just for whatever reason, when you're in the job that I'm in, these people yell at each other. And then they call and yell at you, not because they're angry with you, but because they want to vent about, you know, this coach screwed my kid over. So I'll just get screamed at for no reason.
So we're talking about, when you say that, you're talking about handlers and high school coaches and high school assistants and that kind of thing?
And trainers, because they want you to write, so-and-so screwed over so-and-so. It's like, you know, I can't go out and write that unless there's some documentation. But they're all going to be so mad at each other, Neil. It's going to be – and it's everybody should see this coming. I mean, we know what's going to happen.
Yes.
There are going to be a lot of lies told, and then there are going to be some mad people, and, like, they're going to be shocked that they were lied to.
And here's the other thing that's coming, and this is going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out, because people are going to start screaming about ethics, and I'm going to be the guy that goes, you're talking about ethics in college football? Come on. but they're going to be talking about ethics, because here's what's going to happen. Assistant coach X at State U, who's recruiting a kid to State U, but he knows he's leaving for Middle Texas State A&M. He knows he's leaving, and he knows it's going to happen around December 20th, or it might not get official till January 3rd-ish. He's going to tell that kid, don't sign. Gonna communicate.
I would not be shocked if that has not already happened.
Gonna communicate not directly to the kid, but to people around the kid, so that there's plausible deniability. Hey, don't sign because I'm going over to Middle Texas State A&M at Corpus Christi, and you want to come there, and I'm gonna be there. Hang tight, hang tight. Get to the dead period. Hang tight, and I'll bring you in. That stuff's going to happen, and the accusations are going to fly.
Oh, 100%. We all laugh at handlers, but they have a – this is their purpose, right, is the back channel. And I am not be shocked if this has not already started. And we're going to see. When this early signing day happens, when a bunch of kids that have been committed to the school for 6 months just decide, no, I'm not going to do that, and it doesn't look like the head coach is leaving, it's going to be pretty obvious what has happened here.
Assistants are gone, yeah. Because these head coaching jobs, there's going to be moves that are corresponding to it that are going to be to the exponential power. It's going to be five for every staff change that shakes up, and then you throw in this 10th assistant thing that comes into play. It's a total game changer.
It's going to be such a nightmare, man. I don't know what to expect because obviously I've never lived it, but I just, you know, if I had a panic room in my house, it'd be a good time to try that out.
Well, I look forward to chatting with you about it when the time comes. It will be here before you know it, and you do a great job covering it. And thanks again for being with us here on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate you.
I'm going to hold you to the pecans, man. I'm going to text you my address right now.
Please do. Text me the address, and I'll make sure that you get taken care of. You'll love them. Stacy and Bailey and the people there at Billy's Pecans do a great job. The product is fantastic.
All right. I don't work for free. Thanks, Neil. I appreciate it.
All right, my man. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Our thanks again to Rob Cassidy for his time today on the Soft Verbal Podcast. We'll be back sometime early next week, probably, with a quick podcast to get you one right before the Thanksgiving holiday. So until then, enjoy your weekend. Happy holidays to you as we get started with the holiday season. And we'll talk to you next week on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Take care.